Good morning and welcome to one more in the series of audio booths exploring the campaign of John Gilroy, who's a candidate for the Irish Labour Party in the Cork North Central constituency. And I'm sitting here again in Cafe Beva with John, and he's been canvassing a lot recently, and I want to find out something about what it's like as a candidate to go knocking on people's doors these days. Good morning, John.
Morning, Paul.
John, look, you've been canvassing. First of all, I want to find out what kind of things people say to you, and then I'd like to find out something about what you do with what people say to you on the doorstep, what difference it makes, what you hear. So tell us first, what have you been hearing from people when you've knocked on their doors? Have they actually opened the doors to you?
Yeah, Paul, this campaign is a peculiar campaign in the fact that in normal election times, a lot of the issues that you're hearing on the doorsteps are local issues, people worried about things that are happening in their own locality. On this occasion, I would think and estimate, I suppose, that about 90% of people's concerns are now based on the economy, Paul. You ask, do people engage with us on the door? Well, there's different levels of engagement. There are some people who dislike all politicians, and we're hearing this quite a lot. All politicians are the same.
And do they shut the door in your face? Like, do they? Are they nasty to you?
No, Paul. No, we haven't come across any abuse at all. People are polite, always polite, and you know that's the nature of people. What people might say about politicians in private might well be different from what they're saying to us in public, but always, even if people disagree with you, they are very polite. There are a lot of people who open the door and say, look, all politicians are the same, I don't like any of you, I'm not voting. And that's disappointing to hear, Paul, because for several reasons. First of all, it shows how low the esteem of politics has come when people say, oh sure, I couldn't be bothered voting for anyone at all. And that's very disappointing and dispiriting to hear.
And when you hear them say, I'm not going to vote, do you just accept it and say thanks very much, or do you then proceed to try to persuade them to vote?
Well, again, there's different levels of engagement. Anyone that I can engage with, Paul, I really do make every effort to do so. There are some people who have their minds made up, they have embedded ideas about politicians, and they will not engage at all. But most people will, and it's very important your approach to this before you can get a proper engagement. I think politicians sometimes make the mistake of putting their own ego first and to think that the person who's not voting is a potential vote loss for them. And while that's true, that's not the main point here at all. The main point here is that people should participate in democracy, Paul. We hear the old argument that it was hard fought and hard won in this country. But the level of disillusionment is great, Paul. There is a lot of people out there in different areas as well. We'll say in some parts of the city, people might be more, I don't know, is the word radicalised the right word, but people are more passionate about their politics in some areas than in others. And that passion goes both ways. People are very, very positively passionate, but very negatively passionate. Other people are.
And if you hear from somebody that they're negatively disposed and that they just don't feel like voting at all, do you then write them off, or do you plan to go back to them later in the canvass and see if they've changed their mind?
Well, that's the ideal word, Paul, but I'm afraid the canvass period, the election campaign, is a 3-week window. There's nearly 30,000 houses in the Cork North Central constituency, so we're not going to get back, much as we'd like to. So it's important that you make the engagement there and then on the doorstep, if possible. And like I say, it's the first engagement from a politician will determine the level of debate there's going to be on the doorstep. If you decide, oh, you're not going to vote, fair enough, and go away, well, that's the end of the conversation, obviously. But I don't like to do that at all, Paul. I like to say, you know, do you think all politicians are the same, or what's the issue, you know? And most people, when you seem to be reasonable with them, will engage with you. Now, you mightn't change their mind about voting, but people will be reasonable. And most people who decide they're not voting have a reason, if that makes sense, for that decision. It's not like they're just saying, oh, of course, in all your houses. It's kind of saying, look, I'm not voting because I don't see any great difference between maybe the policies or the personnel of different parties. And when you say, God, it does seem difficult to make that argument that politicians are all the same, because we've heard this trotted out really by Fianna Fáil people for the last 13 years. And the gist of the Fianna Fáil argument was, we're a bad old crowd, all right, but geez, the other crowd are just as bad or maybe worse. And if something is repeated often enough, it does get traction, Paul. So I'd like to just spend a few minutes saying, look, let's talk about this. Are we all the same? Well, I'm not all the same. I'm not the same as other politicians. And I passionately believe that, Paul. When I got elected in 2004, I decided I was going to do politics in a different way than it's done by other people, would say. And one of those things in local politics was that I was not going to start every morning reading the death pages of the Examiner to see what funeral I'd go to. I was determined that I wasn't going to go into the lowest common denominator of Irish politics, which is the parish pump and the parochial nonsense, for want of a better word. I wasn't going to jump on every popular passing bandwagon, and I wasn't going to try to be all things to everyone. And my political advisors in the between 2004 and 2009 election were tearing their hair out, Paul. They were saying I wasn't going to be elected. So, look, you've got aspirations to go to the Dáil. They were saying you won't even be returned to the county council. There's my phone just ringing, sorry, Paul.
I won't even
be returned to the county council, never mind going to the Dáil. And I said, well, so be it. We live or die politically on that. And in the Hill of Hunt, so I've said it before, I got the second highest vote in the country of any party and the highest Labour Party vote ever. So that shows me that there is a market, for want of a better word, for this type of politics. It's a different type of politics. It's based on hard work. It's based on no-nonsense, Paul. It's based on honesty. And it's based on doing the right thing over the popular thing, mostly.
Okay, let me take you back. Let me take you back, though, to the canvassing, right? So we've got one group of people who seem to be quite a few of them out there at the moment who are a plague on all your houses, right? You're all the same, right? What other kind of messages are you getting yesterday from people that you canvassed?
Well, Paul, the economic cutbacks that have taken place in the last 2 years is really having a very, very detrimental effect on people's incomes. And we're talking about people who would generally be considered in the past to have good jobs, Paul. You know, if you were to say, nurses, teachers, Gardaí, public servants, they were considered good, solid jobs. And there was a perception out there that the public servants were very comfortable. They are not, Paul. Even people on 60 and 70,000 euros a year now, Paul, by any standard, would be considered to have a reasonable level of income, are being crucified with these taxes, Paul. The universal social charge is absolutely, it's the single biggest issue out there on the doorstep. I'm meeting people who are distraught, people who have worked hard, paid their taxes, done everything right, have saved some money, and now find themselves with their income has been decimated by this. This is something that has to be addressed.
And have you got something as a candidate to say back to them? I mean, they're suffering, right? Can you seriously offer them any hope of an improvement?
Paul, we're not into auction politics here, and we're not into making promises that we can't deliver. The Labour Party is standing on three pillars in this election. And one of them, the first one is jobs, creating new jobs and supporting existing employment, right? Reform, which is key to everything. Reform of virtually everything we do. But most importantly, Paul, it's about fairness. For instance, if you earn 200,000 euros a year, which you do, of course, Paul, don't you? If you earn 200,000 euros a year, after the last budget, you're 12,000 euros better off. And yet, at the other end of the scale, they cut 40 euros a week off the minimum wage earners. That's not fair, Paul. And if we're not promising that we have the cure of the economic crisis, that's not what the Labour Party is promising. We're promising that we have a plan. We'll implement the plan. There will be pain and further pain to take. But if that pain, Paul, is fair, if those who have the most contribute the most, that has to be the yardstick by which we're going, then people will accept, they will not like, but they will accept the difficult economic times that we're in.
And do people like getting a good listening to? I'm wondering whether that rebounds to your advantage if you actually give people on the doorstep a really good opportunity to sound off about how they feel.
It's awfully important. That's what politics is about, Paul. Politics isn't a one-way street handed from politicians to the public. The public are not passive recipients of politics. Politics is about the public, and it's about listening to people. It's about offering, in these days, Paul, it's about offering hope as much as everything else. We hear too much talk of negativity and too many politicians arguing, fighting over their own policies. It's nonsense. It has to stop. We have to offer a plan. We have to be positive. And that's only the start. There will be hard times ahead, Paul, and harder they will get, I'm afraid. We're very worried in the Labour Party that, let's have a look at the Fianna Fáil books when we, if we get into office. I wonder, they haven't been truthful with the public over the last 2 years. I wonder, is the full extent of this nightmare fully unfolded, or are there other shocks waiting for us when we see the books?
And tell me, one last question about the canvassing now, before we go on to general matters. What was the most difficult issue that you found personally raised with you yesterday on the doorstep, the one that you found most tricky to handle?
Well, there's ones that are politically difficult to handle, but the case that's the most poignant one with me last night was at about 7 o'clock, we knocked on the door and we spoke to a girl who's a public servant, and her husband is in business. He has lost his business, and they're totally dependent on her income. Her income has been severely cut back with taxes and universal social charge and other levies, and they really are struggling, Paul. Now, that sounds grand to say it, but when you come face to face with the people who are struggling like this, Paul, it's heartbreaking. Behind this girl was two very small children. She was almost in tears talking to me. She was at the end of her tether. She was distraught, and she didn't know what to do. And I, as a politician, had no answer to her problems, and I have to admit that. We say, look, this empathy is fine, Paul, and it's important that people have empathy, but empathy doesn't butter any parsnips. We just have to get this country back on track, Paul. And it's ordinary, decent, hard-working people, people who've done everything right all their lives. They've worked hard, paid their taxes, saved a few pounds, did the best for their families, that are at the brunt of this. And this is unfair, Paul.
And what are you going to do today, then? What's your next step in the campaign?
Well, we have a very robust plan. We're sticking to it. There's all sorts of attempts to distract us from this, from our opponents, but we'll ignore that. We're canvassing again in the city in the morning from 11 o'clock till 1. We'll finish up till 2 o'clock. From 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock, we're back in the city again. We'll take a break for an hour, and at 6 o'clock, we're meeting here in Glanmire to bring a canvas team of about 40 people to Watergrass Hill. We'll finish up in Watergrass Hill at about 8:45 tonight, and there's a race night on in Watergrass Hill, which I support. I bought sponsored a page for €100, and I'll drop in there, and there's another function on in town later on that I think I've been invited to as well, and I'll drop in there. So I expect to be home, Paul, at about, I don't know, 12 o'clock tonight, and tomorrow we'll kick off the same again.
Okay, so that's about a, how long a day is that? About a 16-hour day?
Yeah, about that, but it's not just me, Paul. It's my key people, Jim Quinn. You met Jim on the canvas a couple of weeks ago. He'll be with us constantly. There'll be Noel Costello, and there'll be David, my brother, and three or four more. I'm desperate now that I start mentioning names, Paul, because I'll have to mention everyone. Yeah. But my lads will forgive me for that. There'll be several people with me who will be doing 16-hour days as well. There'll be other people who'll be dropping in for an hour or two and meeting us maybe later on. So we have a great team, Paul, and it amazes me the loyalty shown to me by my team. I don't know why they bother with me, to be honest. They're fantastic, and I have to acknowledge that on our booze for sure.
Okay, John Gilroy, thank you very much. We'll follow up over the next few days, and I even heard one last thing you mentioning this morning, the possibility that you might engage in a debate with the other candidates in the constituency, just as they're talking about this on a national level as well.
Yeah, I'm always happy to engage in debate. I prefer if it doesn't become personal. Sometimes these things tend to, but look, if it does, we're thick-skinned enough to deal with it. But there is a date booked for Blarney on the 16th of February. I think it's Wednesday night week, where all the candidates are invited to put their case before the general public, and I look forward to that. I really do like the cut and thrust of a good public debate, Paul, and I'd be very happy and confident that I'll be able to put on a good show, I hope.
Okay, thanks very much, John Gilroy.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.